local news, culture, and NPR.
This is Radio Catskill. We're getting ready for the local edition here, and we need to hear from you to help us out during our fall fun drive. So I'm just pausing to let you know about that. I'm Jason. I'm the program director here at Radio Catskill, and I'm also the host of the show that's about to start, the local edition. So when last we spoke, just before the top of the hour, we still had $200 left to raise on this generous combo $500 challenge from Tree Stalkers Tree Care in Youngsville, and also Carol Ann, listener Carol Ann, checking in. And so across that time period, we heard from a number of folks, including Anonymous in Hortonville. We heard from Curtis making an online donation. We heard from another Anonymous. We heard from Linda in Monticello. We heard from Ed in Jackson Heights. And then just after we got off air, bringing it all home, we heard from Anonymous in Narrowsburg, taking the challenge completely off our hands. So huge thanks to Carol Ann, and big thanks to Tree Stalkers Tree Care in Youngsville. So much thanks to Maggie and Ed for making that generous challenge. It started all of this off on a otherwise, what would have otherwise been a relatively sleepy Monday afternoon here on Radio Catskill during our fall fun drive. The first day of the last week of the fun drive. So we've passed the halfway point of the funds that we need to raise. We are on our way. I always tell people the second half of the fun drive goes much quicker than the first half. And that's good because we've got less days coming up in the second half of the fun drive than we had in the first half of the fun drive. All of that to say, even while we get into the local edition here, even as I get started with the program tonight, we still have a need. And that need is to hear from listeners like you. Because you have the ability to make a donation right now. You could make a generous donation that won't put you out, but it will help this organization remain free and accessible to everyone. And you haven't given yet, but you're thinking about it. This is the time to do it. If you've got something to give, please give now. Go to WJFFradio.org, WJFFradio.org. Click donate now. You can see the progress we've made so far. You can see generous comments from your fellow listeners who have also made the decision to go from being listeners, which we desperately need, to being supporters, which we are eternally grateful for. Be one of those listeners now as we get into one of our two daily local news shows that we have here during the week, which is an amazing thing for a public radio station in such a rural area that we have these great news shows talking about what's happening in our communities right here in our listening area, in the region, and we continue to bring you the news and information that comes from around the country and around the world. We're keeping you connected to it all, and we can only do it thanks to listeners like you who go from being listeners to also being supporters. Help us out now. Make a donation in honor of the local edition, in honor of Radio Catskill, and in honor of all the great local news and talk programs that we have here on Radio Catskill. Give what you can. Do give now. Go to WJFFradio.org. That's WJFFradio.org. We have the local edition. It's coming up next. Stay with me.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Artist Cottage Bed and Breakfast, a newly renovated farmhouse that sleeps four with full gourmet cooked breakfast provided daily, located near the top of Hauk Mountain Road in the town of Walton. More information at GreatWesternCatskills.com.
You don't have to give $1 billion because every dollar counts when you donate to this station. Please make your gift today. Thanks.
Make your donation now at WJFFradio.org.
Live from Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me this evening. We got some news to get to. Going to find out about the Sullivan County Ghost Walk. If you're going to walk with ghosts, this is the time of year to do it. Halloween plans in Sullivan County. Also, many state universities and even some private ones are waiving application fees as the time of year when this year's high school seniors are making their college applications. We have more on that coming up from our partners at New York Public News Network. But first, we continue election coverage. The election is just days away now. Just a couple of weeks away. And Radio Catskill's Patricio Rubio spoke with the Ulster County Board of Elections Commissioners Ashley Torres and John P. Quigley, and they discussed the key dates and deadlines that voters should be aware of before heading to the polls, as well as the measures that are being implemented to ensure a fair and secure election in Ulster County this November.
October 26th is the first day for early voting, the last day that someone can register to vote, and it's the last day that someone can request a ballot to vote by mail for us to send it to them in the mail. They can always come for a ballot after that date, but then they have to appear in person up until the day before the election. They can do that.
Now, I know sometimes there are changes in polling places. I know here in Sullivan County, sometimes you do change. John, if you want to speak on where can folks go to see if their polling chain location has changed or not?
So here in Ulster County, if you're looking to see where your poll sites are, you can go to voteulster.com, and it's one of our leading links that allows you to search not only your registration status, but also the poll site that you're responsible for looking at.
Now, this is a very busy period for both of you. What does the day look like for you now leading up to the election?
A bit longer. We have the staff, people start coming in around 7:30 a.m. to get started on the day's worth of registration processing, as well as processing the applications for the people that want to vote through the mail. And then we stay anywhere from 6 to 7. Today we're going to be open a little bit later, probably leaving around 8 o'clock. And that's the next 19 days. That's just going to be more of a common occurrence where we're here. We joke that we basically live here now. And it feels like that in a lot of ways. But it's almost over. And when it's done, then we'll just be proud that we did as much as we could for the voters. And that's really what we keeps us focused.
Now, are you still looking for volunteers to help at an election night or with early voting?
We're always actively looking. We're never going to say no to new people who want to get involved and help us actively run our elections. We are in the final week of our training classes for one of our last positions that we have here in Ulster County. But we will be taking names and any individual who is interested in working for us, because we always do what we call emergency training classes, where usually the last minute call outs, the people who have the inability to work and only let us know on short notice aren't able to make it. We still need a list of people who we can place on election day, even if we're calling them at 5 in the morning to let them know that at 5 in the morning is when we first found out that somebody's not going to be able to make it.
Right. Now, as I said, early voting starts on October 26th, 9 days before the election day. What locations are for folks in Ulster County can partake in early voting?
We have 6 early voting sites in Ulster County. Our voters can go to any of those 6 early voting sites to cast their ballot. They are in, we have them, I think it's pretty geographically dispersed. We have one up in Saugerties at the Saugerties Senior Center. That's part of the Cantine Field complex up there. In Olive, we have it at the American Legion Hall, which is right off of Route 28 going up to the Catskills. So there's one up there. In Kingston, we have one on Broadway at the Midtown Neighborhood Center. And down in New Paltz, we have one at the New Paltz Community Center off 32. In Marlboro, we have one at their new community center. And then over in Allenville, we have one at the Allenville Library.
Now, naturally, this is a topic that a lot of folks talk about, the security of the casting of the votes. What measures are in place to ensure the security of votes cast by mail or in person?
So it's important to note, in New York State, what we do is we operate in a bipartisan manner. And as you're hearing from two of us today, there's always one Democrat and one Republican every step of the way. And this goes from the moment you check in at your registration table when you're voting on election day to the moment you cast your ballot. There are still two individuals who are at the machines when you cast your ballots, and all the way up to when we certify the election. Regardless of the aspect of which way you vote, we have a check and a balance and audit process that takes place so that it ensures that no matter what, in the concern that people have that an election is going to be rigged, it would take a bipartisan agreement for once, and it would take more than two people to actively do that. So in New York, we are thankful that this is our method, that it is done in a bipartisan manner, and that there is a Democrat and a Republican every step along the way, and that there's always a paper trail, that not only the ballots are paper, but when we do our audits, there is documentation of all the process that goes through from the moment you check in to the moment you vote.
That's just great to know that your vote will be secure and during this election season for Ulster County. Now, as far as the counting of the ballots, when do you start counting the ballots with early voting and in mail-in ballots? Does that get counted before the election day or starting on election day or after the polls close?
So for mail-in ballots that have been coming in with people's votes inside of them, we prepare them for canvass twice a week. On Tuesdays and Fridays, we open any valid ballots that have been returned and prepare them for scanning. They're then going to be scanned. A few times we scan them. That's all written out in the election law when we're required to start scanning those. They get scanned and then they're put into a secure locked box, which is then inside of a locked room that there's all these fail-safe redundancies to secure them. And then we open up early voting sites on the 26th. That's people going in and casting a ballot on one of our voting machines. Those two pieces of data, those two streams of voting, are part of our first initial reporting on election night. So at 9 o'clock, the polls close. That's when we can also first access and see what those results for the mail-in ballots and the early votes that were cast at the early voting sites. Those get tabulated and we then release them to the public within minutes of ourselves even being able to access them. They're up on the website and that's the first returns that people will see. The returns on election day, they have to physically come back to our office from wherever that poll site is located in Ulster. And since we have Ulster County is a pretty large county geographically, I've always heard that it's geographically the size of Rhode Island. I've never fact checked that, but I just take it for face value that it is a very large county and we have poll sites all over the county. We have 83 poll sites. So those memory cards that have the results on them from the voting machines, they have to come back to us. So there is a little bit of a wait time. Of course, we get returns back from Kingston where our office is, the towns that are around Kingston. And as they come back from wherever that poll site was, we upload those and add them to the election night results. You start to see that being reflected on our website where we house the results on voteulster.com. There's a percentage that will rise as the night goes on. And we usually have everything up within 2 hours of the polls closing. So that's past practice, and that's hopefully what we'll see. We don't have any hiccups, and everything is up on the website no later than 11 p.m.
Now, on election night, when the results starts coming in after 9 o'clock, you mentioned a website. If you can mention it again, where folks can go and see the results.
Yes, that's easiest to – when you go to voteulster.com on election night, we redirect, and we have a main link on our website that will allow you to see local results, and it will also direct you towards the state website where you can go and see statewide results.
All right, great, great. So I'm sure you guys are, I said, is all the Board of Elections folks that we spoke to recently are all very busy, like much as like you guys are leading up to the election. I'm sure you will be very busy on election night. Is there anything I have not mentioned that you want folks, voters to know leading up to the election?
Just a friendly reminder, turn over your ballot. There are propositions on the back of the ballot this year. There's one statewide proposition. There's two county for Ulster County propositions. And if you happen to live in a town, there's some towns that will have a handful of propositions as well for their local towns.
Yeah, and we also really stress for people to check their registration before the cutoff date. They have 10 days left to register, and we want to make sure that when they go to vote, they don't have any issues. So if they've moved and they haven't updated their address, they should be checking on that too. And they should check before they submit and new form. Oftentimes we get forms back from voters and nothing has changed. It's a duplicate. And we don't know that until we start the process of looking it up. So the more duplicates we have, the less time we have to actually process new forms or changes to people's records. And that's obviously very burdensome. It takes away the time that we should be focusing on helping people who have a change or have not registered. So we very much emphasize to the public, check before you register again.
And the website is voteulster.com, and that redirects you to the election, Ulster County Board of Elections. We were talking to Ashley Torres and John Quigley from the Ulster County Board of Elections. Thank you so much for talking to me about the upcoming election, and good luck this season. I hope you get some rest somewhere.
Thank you.
In Liberty, I'm Patricio Roballo for Radio Catskill.
Well, thank you to Patricio, and thank you to the Ulster County Board of Elections for talking to us, giving us that crucial information there. Again, we have lots of crucial information for you this election season up now at WJFFradio.org. That's WJFFradio.org. See our Election 2024 page. You can actually go to WJFFradio.org/election2024. All the interviews that we've done related to the election so far are up there, especially our candidate interviews. Our candidate's guide, full guide to the candidates in the area, is there as well, as a link to Vote 411 with some of the nuts and bolts deadline type information, as you just heard there in that piece. There's more of that over at WJFFradio.org. Next up for election coverage here on Radio Catskill, this time tomorrow night we'll be getting ready for the special election debate, the live presentation. Big thanks to our friends at WVIA. They are producing a debate between incumbent Congressman Cartwright and his challenger, Bresnahan. They are running to represent Pennsylvania's 8th Congressional District, and you will be able to hear from both of them tomorrow night live here on Radio Catskill. We'll be simulcasting WVIA's debate between those two candidates. That gets started at 7. And then at 8, we have a fresh dialogue conversation, or really two candidates talking at once at the Candidates Night, the NAACP Candidates Night last week. The candidates running for New York's 100th Assembly District, that will be coming to you tomorrow night, right after the PA8 debate. So be listening for all of this right here on Radio Catskill. When we come back, we'll talk about walking with ghosts. This is Radio Catskill.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Radio Catskill is partnering with StoryCorps for One Small Step, an effort to remind the country of the humanity in all of us. I'm Isabel Braverman, and we are pairing up strangers in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania to have conversations, not debates. Get to know your neighbors. Let's take one small step away from division and toward each other. Sign up at WJFFradio.org.
StoryCorps One Small Step and the radio station hubs are made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Without question, the animating issue is the economy. This is a place that has always had a lot of boom and bust cycles, but COVID completely obliterated the Las Vegas economy. It really hurt a lot of people, and we're still seeing the effects of that.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
It's coming up in just 12 minutes here on Radio Catskill on the other side of the Local Edition. Before we get back into the Local Edition, just want to remind you that we are looking for your support right now. It is our fall fun drive. When you get a moment, please go to WJFFradio.org. Make your donation there. Give us a call if you want. We're here. We could take your call as we get back into the news here. The number is 845-482-4141. If you want to make your donation over the phone, that's 845-482-4141. Or again, just go to WJFFradio.org. Like I'm going to do right now, because I'm in a new studio than the one I was in before. Go to WJFFradio.org. And I see the link. Red, white, and blue Radio Catskill with stars and everything says donate here. You click on that and you can see with some degree of relief that we are now at 51% of our overall goal. We've raised over $25,600 on our way towards $50,000. So thank you to everybody. It's gotten us this far. 170 different donations have gotten us to this point. And those donations range from $5 to $5,000. Whatever you can do on that spectrum, whatever you can afford to give, if you can afford to give it, please do give now, because this is a crucial time to have independent media bringing you crucial local, national, and international information. It's a cause worth supporting. Put your money where your ears are. Make your donation now. Call 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org. And welcome back to the Local Edition. I am Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me. If you're looking for some Halloween plans, well, Sullivan County is kicking off the spooky season with a ghost walk. And this ghost walk goes through Minisink Battleground Park. The event will guide visitors through the haunted history of the Revolutionary War. Radio Catskills' Nia Watson has the story.
The Delaware Company and the Sullivan County Parks Recreation and Beautification Department are hosting a ghost walk on Saturday, October 26th at 3 p.m. I'm here with Fiona Feltman from the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Beautification to learn more about the event. Hello, Fiona. It's great to hear from you again. Can you introduce or reintroduce yourself for our listeners?
Yes, I am Fiona Feltman. I am the Assistant Recreation Director for the County Parks Department.
Thank you. So the upcoming Ghost Walk at Minisink Battleground Park. What's the plan for this event?
For the ghost walk, we will be gathering at the Benjamin Tustin Memorial Pavilion at 3 o'clock to begin walking the Woodland Trail, where Sullivan County historian and the Delaware Company president, John Conway, will be narrating ghost stories.
So why Minisink Battleground Park? Is there historical significance to this location?
The Battle of Minisink took place at the Minisink Battleground Park, which is owned by Sullivan County. It is the scene of a Revolutionary War battle that took place on July 22nd, 1779. You'll be able to learn more about that during the ghost tour. And the narrations by Mr. Conway will be focused on how during the war, the bodies of the men that were killed were left there for 43 years before anyone came to retrieve their remains. And this is part of why it is said that the park is haunted. And that is what Mr. Conway will be telling stories about.
The haunting element is perfectly timed for Halloween. And then this is kind of a follow-up question to that. But with these elements, the history, the spookiness, what age group will this event be for? Or is it sort of catered to all ages?
This will be open to all ages. There's nothing too spooky or gory to restrict anyone from attending. And this is a free event. We do have an online registration where we recommend that you sign up in advance doing that. However, you can just show up the day of. To find the online registration, you can go to our county website under our Parks and Recreation page. We have information listed there.
Okay, and has an interactive event like this happened yet this year?
This will be our first ghost walk this year, and this will be definitely our first walk held about this kind of discussion. We do hold multiple walks throughout the year at our various parks, but this will be the first ghost walk, and hopefully will not be the last.
Yes, hopefully not the last. So can people hope to have more interactive walks or programming like this in the future? Are there any in the plans, any in the works?
We're definitely interested in hosting more interactive walks in the future. We would definitely love some community feedback for ideas that they'd love seeing walks hosted on. And, you know, Minisink Battleground is not our only said to be haunted facility that the county owns. So maybe there will be some other spooky events to happen at some of our other facilities.
And can you share any of the names of those other facilities?
Well, you could do your own research, but there is some spooky history about the Stone Arch Bridge Historical Park in Canosa Lake.
Okay, is there anything else our listeners should know about this event?
For this event, definitely make sure to check the weather beforehand and dress warm.
Thank you so much, Fiona Feltman, Assistant Recreation Director for the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Beautification, for joining us today.
Thanks.
In Liberty, I'm Nia Watson for Radio Catskill.
And thank you so much, Nia, for doing that report. Up next here, before we go, we have one more story for you, because New York's state colleges and universities, and even some private ones too, are waiving application fees right now. It's in an effort to make college more accessible to New York families, but also to boost enrollment in higher education, which has been on the decline. Amy Firesale from the New York Public News Network has more.
Until November 3rd, the State University of New York is waiving up to 5 application fees per student to its 64 colleges and universities. SUNY Chancellor John King says the goal is to get students exploring their higher education options.
If you want a big school, we've got University of Buffalo with 30,000 students. If you want a small liberal arts college, we've got SUNY Geneseo. If you're passionate about the environment, we've got our Environmental Science and Forestry College in Syracuse.
King says they also want to get the message out about financial aid and the cost of state schools.
We find that when students begin the application process, that may be the first time they and their families realize that our tuition at our four-year campuses is only $7,070 for the year. 52% of our students actually go tuition-free because of the federal Pell Grant program and the New York State Tuition Assistance Program.
Alongside the SUNY system and the City University of New York, over 50 private universities are also waiving their application fees in October. It's part of a nationwide trend to remove application barriers. That's in the face of declining enrollment in higher education, which King says the SUNY system has been grappling with.
Last year, we saw our first enrollment increase in a decade.
Since 2010, the number of students enrolling in college in the U.S. has been on a steady decline, about a 1.5% drop per year. Enrollment also took a hit when the U.S. Department of Education revamped the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or FAFSA, last fall. Technical issues with the new form led to millions of students not being able to apply. That meant a huge delay in knowing whether they could afford to go to college. That had a big impact, says SUNY Chancellor King.
Nationally, there's no question that there were students who were negatively impacted. In New York, we were down about 11% statewide in FAFSA completion.
King says the SUNY system made a lot of efforts this spring and summer to make up for the federal FAFSA challenges. That included paying current SUNY students to provide FAFSA guidance to high schoolers.
Although we think we were able to mitigate the impact for SUNY, we still worry about the students who may have missed out on knowing how much financial aid is out there for them.
In removing fees and through related in-person and virtual events to help students with their applications, King hopes to inspire high schoolers to apply who maybe wouldn't have.
To say, you know what, I'm going to apply to college. And so this could be the opening of a door. We want SUNY to be a path to upward mobility for New Yorkers all across the state.
Applications are free until November 3rd for SUNY schools. Applications at private universities are free until the end of October or have been waived year-round. Amy Fireisel for the New York Public News Network.
Okay, and thank you so much for that report here. And believe it or not, that's going to do it for the local edition. I've been your host, Jason Dole. And thanks so much to our news partners at the New York Public News Network. Thank you so much to our own Nia and also Patricio. And thank you to everybody who supported this radio station so far during our fall fund drive. We're just over the halfway point. We need your help for raising the other half of the funds that we need to raise. When you get a chance, please donate at WJFFradio.org. Call 845-482-4141. We're here at 845-482-4141. We'll be looking for your donation at WJFFradio.org. Don't forget, Radio Catskill comes back tomorrow morning with Tim Bruno, 10 a.m. with more local news. And tomorrow night, we've got this special debate for Pennsylvania's 8th Congressional District. That's starting at 7 o'clock. Mr. Kusar, Grace will return the following week. We have election specials tomorrow evening starting at 7. So be here with us for that. And before we get into